Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
We're going to kind of get into that here in a little bit. The past few weeks in Pittsfield, though, those of you who have Frontier, how many of you got affected by the line that got broke? The church was out of phone service and the church was out of internet service for several days. In fact, our phones are still messed up. Apparently some major cable was pierced and a lot of water got in the line, and they had some big disaster, and the resulting damage took phones all throughout our area out for quite some time. And like I could say, we're still dealing with it. And so we kept getting calls that the fire alarm system, because once the phone goes off, our fire alarm says it's disconnected, and there's an auto dialer that goes out. And so we get calls constantly saying, hey, you have no phone line. We're like, yes, we know we have no phone line. It gets kind of frustrating. So once the phone system came up, it was up and then down, up, down, up, down. It got kind of crazy. And we called them, and they said, well, on our side, it appears that your line is fixed. I said, well, we still have no ability to communicate, you know, it was a problem. So here's the instructions that I got. The guy said, okay, well, I want you to go back to the main part of the system, which we have this room that's locked off with this communication room, this big kind of computer-looking thing. They said, I want you to go in front of it. And so I check, I'm standing there in front of it. And they said, I want you to get the power cable. And I said, yes. And they said, I want you to pull the power cable out of the wall. I said, okay, so I pulled the power cable out of the wall. I said, no, go to the back where the main line comes in. Yes, now unplug that. So you can go ahead and click that there, yeah. So they wanted me to unplug everything because I couldn't communicate. So you got to unplug it and then leave it unplugged for about 5 minutes. Then you can plug it back in. And sure enough, when we plugged it back in, then we had some ability. Everything kind of came back, and so that was kind of cool. So I've really thought about that, this whole thought of unplugging for a period of time to help get your communication better. And as I thought about that, this has been weighing on my mind. I kind of thought back to what the liturgical calendar this time of year, those of you who know friends maybe in the Catholic Church or whatnot, this time of year is called Lent. It's a time of preparation leading up to Holy Week. Sometimes you go to restaurants and on Fridays no meat without fish Fridays. That's talking about this period of time where traditionally in traditional churches, they take an opportunity to not do something, to give something up. You know, people who give up sweets for Lent, or people who give up, you know, different types of things for Lent. And I think the practice of taking a period of time and sacrificing something, to draw closer to God, I'm all in favor of that. I think that's a fantastic thing. Now, if you go right back to being right the way you were, I have a problem with that. To sit there and say, oh yeah, you know, I'm just going to, or to give something up and not draw closer to God, I actually have a problem with that as well, because that's kind of more of a religion or religiosity. I kind of personally struggle with that. But when we look at Daniel, as we just wrapped up our series in Daniel, we see several times in Daniel's life where Daniel intentionally, everybody say intentionally, he intentionally gave up some things and pressed into God. And so as I thought about my encounter with Frontier, I wanted to do a short message this week on this topic. It's been on my mind. And again, it's also in harmony with the principles in Daniel life, as well as this season that the church calls Lent. And so some of you right now are getting really nervous, and some of you are also really, this is resonating with you. But let's look at the Gospel of Luke chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 12. But let me give you some context. Contextually, in chapter 5, we see Simon, James, and John, and they're entrepreneurs. They have a fishing business, and they're doing well in their kind of family fishing business. And they had been out all night long fishing, didn't really have much to show for it. So they landed their boats and they were mending their nets and putting things away. And they look up and this kind of crowd of people comes down. They have this guy and all these individuals who are following them, following this guy. And this guy is a teacher and they kind of imagine how that was. You see a big group of people who are trying to listen to somebody. And this character, this odd man, gets right in Simon's boat. And says, hey, would you put off from the shore a little bit? Just go out so I can address the crowd. And so he uses his boat as a platform. And I guess, nothing better to do. It's kind of an interesting thing to happen. So he does it and listens to this teacher's words. And something in what he's saying, I think, resonates with Simon. It kind of challenges him. He thinks he's an intriguing character. So after he's done teaching, this teacher says, hey, why don't you put out here a little bit and cast your nets? And I think Simon's like, look, we've been fishing all night. The fish aren't biting. But there's something about this encounter. There's something about this man and this teacher that encourages him. All right, I'll humor the guy. So he goes out and you know the story. He casts his nets. And goodness gracious, the nets are so full, the nets are nearly breaking, so he calls his co-workers, they come out, and the two boats together are nearly sinking because of the tremendous haul that they have. I mean, think of what's going through. Here, this guy shows up, he's have a crowd of people listening to every word he says, and then he tells them to do something which they've been doing all night, and all of a sudden it works. They land the boat. And his freaked out meter is about a 10.6. And then the guy looks at him and says, hey, no more are you going to be fishing for fish. From now on, you're going to fish for men. What's kind of crazy, what we see is their response. It says immediately they dropped everything and they followed Jesus. See, then we find verse 12. Now, certainly, there's so much that we could talk about. Sermons for months on those encounters. But look at the next thing that happens, because I find this quite interesting. Verse 12. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. You know, obviously, this gentleman knew something about the reputation of Jesus to break natural law. The understanding that Jesus was hope to him who was hopeless. That Jesus was offering something that he definitely needed. In verse 13, it says, and Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Now, here's the problem here. Is for Jesus to do this. Because in this culture, someone who had leprosy was known as unclean. And the whole process of the law is how you can keep yourself clean or how you can try to maintain your cleanliness. And so you're taught through the law to avoid anything unclean. Because if you who are clean touch something that is unclean, you become unclean. And so immediately, Jesus challenges the status quo. And Jesus shows us the difference between law and grace. You see, according to law, we try to keep away. We try to keep ourselves. We do whatever we can. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I think that's a smart way to live. I teach my kids, stay away from the edge. Why do you want to live so close to the edge? Nothing good can happen when you try to go as close to the edge as you can. Whether they take it or not is their business. My business is to teach, is their business to understand. But I think that's a healthy thing for all of us. I don't understand why people try to go as... I always love the conversations. Pastor, is it okay if... Because if you have to ask, more than likely, then that's no. And what I would say, well, it's look, what's going on in your heart? And that's the big issue, is what's going on in your heart. And because everyone wants to find that line. But Jesus, what he does, instead of saying, look, keep away, Jesus demonstrates what the heart of God is now. The dispensation of Jesus, the dispensation of grace, is instead of an unclean thing touching you and making you unclean, now a pure thing can touch you and make you pure. What a great, huge, big, significant change. I hope as a church that we get that. Here's how you know that you're getting it. You begin sharing Christ with those around instead of, oh, It's some of those people. Oh, they might make us look bad. No. Jesus goes to the unclean, and we are called to go to the unclean and have such encounters. He says, look, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will. In other words, look, yeah, I'm going to heal you. Be clean. And immediately, leprosy left him. You see, I believe that there are lepers all around us. There are people with issues all around us. Going back to this, there's a campaign that was going around on the internet. I'm forgetting what the name was, but the whole concept was, instead of walking out of school, walk up to people who are isolated. Walk up to the people who are stigmatized. Walk up to those independent people who feel like they've got nothing. You want to be a difference? Go seek out the leper. Seek out the leper and bring grace. Seek out the leper and bring a connection. Let them know that God understands and that God can touch their heart and change them from the inside out. Immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one. He says, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded for a proof for them. In other words, look, I want this to be known. I want you to understand what's going on. Jesus, it's always interesting why Jesus tells people not to proclaim the works that he's done. Most Bible commentators say he recognized that should his fame overtake him, it would limit his ability to be successful. And he had a 3-year time span here. He's got a lot of ministry to do. Verse 15, but now even more the report about him went abroad. So either the leper went ahead and didn't follow Jesus' word in terms of hiding the secret, or after he showed himself this renown spread. In verse 15, and great crowds gathered to do what? And to be of their infirmities. So who was following him? People who were hungry and people who were needy. People who had issues, people who were the sick, people who were the infirmed. So, they have real needs. Verse 16 messes with me, and verse 16 is what I want to focus my comments on today. Let's all read verse 16 together. But he would, everybody ready? 1, 2, 3. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. What types of places would he withdraw to? Desolate. Another translation says that he would withdraw to solitary. In other words, places where there wasn't a lot, a desolate place, there's not a lot going on. Sometimes I wish my life was a little more desolate. Anybody else? Just wish you could hit the slow down button. I do. So there's a lot going on here. You see, here's what's crazy, is Jesus is growing a ministry. So Jesus is in this process right now where Jesus is engaged, Jesus is growing a ministry, Jesus is busy healing, and Jesus is busy teaching. And so he's got a short amount of time. Again, there's a 3-year clock ticking. He's busy with the needs of the infirmed. He's busy with the needs of the lost. We see great crowds. After all, that should be success right there, isn't it? Because church is all about numbers, isn't it? Hello? So Jesus is growing a ministry. Jesus is busy healing and teaching. And new followers needed training. In other words, there's a lot on Jesus' plate. Does everybody feel me right now? Jesus is a busy man. Much too busy to unplug. Much too busy to take a hiatus. Much too busy to take a sabbatical. Much too busy. This is what bothers me about this. Is because, you know, coming up in ministry and having, you're taught, look, if there are needs, the needs of the people are most important. And Jesus is kind of breaking the cardinal rule of ministry here. Why is he doing that? Why is he doing that? Because it goes against... As I read this verse, here's where my mind goes. How would you feel to be one of those people who were infirmed? One of those people who was really, really hungry? And you sacrifice and travel and you think, oh, well, Jesus is supposed to be here. And you show up and he's not there. How does that make you feel? Oh, God doesn't care about me. Oh, God's too busy for this. Okay, that's where my mind goes as I contemplate this verse. Because that's kind of the reality. If we want to talk about what's the tension in the scripture, how do we resolve that? How do we resolve that Jesus decided that he was going to withdraw rather than engage people? I would like to submit to you today that maybe in fact Jesus was demonstrating and modeling something deeper, something more important. So I'm calling this sermon today Unplugged. Unplugged. And I've got three questions for you. My first question is, why unplug? And I'm using the word unplugged, and we'll see as we journey through it what we're talking about. Why unplugged? Was this just some random thing that Jesus did? Or was Jesus intentionally using this time as an example for us? Now, the only way we can answer that is to look at the totality of Scripture of Jesus' teaching and ministry. And prayer and communing with the Father was, in fact, a cornerstone. It's reflected in his teachings from the Sermon of the Mount, his first main teaching time. It was practiced in the bookends of his ministry. Jesus began his ministry with a period of unplugging, of going off for 40 days and fasting and preparing. And then he ended with a period of unplugging, going to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus' ministry is bookend with this concept, and it is riddled all throughout, because what we find in this text was a common thing. So why unplug? Because Jesus unplugged. If you want to know a good reason why to unplug, because Jesus did. Jesus demonstrated something. He demonstrated. Now, I like the NIV's take on this verse. The NIV says that Jesus would go to solitary places, and it says that he would often, okay, he would often, says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Okay, go to that next one there, John, if you would click. Yeah, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. That's the NIV translation. Now, would you agree with me that we live in a hyper-connected culture? There's always been issues, but probably now, more than ever, we are over-connected. Now, sociologists are currently trying to evaluate this new e-connection and what that means to interpersonal relations, to our ability to have to interact with one another. And I'm really interested to see what these long-term studies are going to reveal, especially in terms of the rise of antisocial behavior. And is there a correlation? There's big debate right now about what is the fact of the correlation. And because we live in a hyper-connected culture, most, and I'd like to say that nearly everyone, feels that they need to know everything immediately. I mean, from your sports scores, it's kind of funny when we get into football season, if I go too long of preaching, inevitably they'll da-na-na, da-na-na, and someone's sports center goes off to let them know that something big happened. And we need to know it right now. It's sad. It's nearly impossible now to do a funeral without a cell phone going off. Oh, it happens all the time. It happens all the time. It's just one of those things. I'm just praying right now. Lord, don't let anybody's cell phone go off, because they're going to feel so bad. And I really hope. And if that's the case, then please don't feel bad or don't feel condemned, because it's. Part of the problem is now everyone's checking their phone. It's hilarious. Okay. It's okay. I'm giving y'all a mulligan. If it goes off, you get a mulligan today. But the truth is, it's how we live. It's kind of funny, because a study came out just a little bit ago about they asked these millennials, what's the first thing you do when you wake up before getting out of bed? And the first thing is to check your Twitter feed and your Instagram and your social media sites. Why? Because you got to find out if somebody said anything at all regarding. It's just a sign of where we are now. And the sad thing is, I don't have any studies to prove this. This is purely my observation. When you go out to eat at a restaurant and you see how many people are sitting at tables and their faces are glowing, and it ain't because they spent time with God like Moses did. It's because they're all sitting there like this. I went to a movie the other day, and I was sitting towards the front, and I looked back, And half the theater was on their phone while a movie was going on. Oh, he pastors on a rant today. No. See, what's being offered up by a lot of the individuals whom I read is that with this hyper-connection, we're actually becoming less connected as a society. We're actually having less meaningful interactions, less really healthy relationships. And so perhaps we're less connected. And so there's a movement saying, hey, it's time to look up. Here's a couple memes that kind of present to this. If the Titanic sank in 2015, if you click that, John, go to the next one if you would. Yeah, this is what the Titanic, if the Titanic sunk now, this is what it would look like. Okay, now, sadly, this next one is really, really troubling to me. A guy's drowning, and instead of anybody... I'm tired. Here's my rant again. I'm tired of the bully beatdown video things where someone's getting the living tar beat out of them and everyone thinks it's more fun to just put it up on YouTube. Everyone's things happen and they decide, oh, well, yeah, this will go viral. And it's almost like this setup thing where people, what are we doing to our hearts? We are searing our consciences. Guys, I submit to you that we need times to unplug. Now, I'm not just talking about cellular technology. I'm not just talking about computer technology. The same can be said for the coffee table. The same can be said for oversaturating yourself with news or particular things. So why unplug? Christ told us to unplug. It's good for us to unplug. Next question is when to unplug? Because I know a lot of us are like, well, I'm just too busy to unplug. And to which I want to tell you, no, you're not. Look, and that's hard for me to say. As a workaholic, as a admitted, I struggle with this. But I gotta tell you, when I don't take, and I'd love to tell you I always take my allotted time to rest, I don't. It is an issue with me. It affects my health, it affects my stress, and most of all, it affects my relationship with God. So as I share this, look, I'm preaching to me. There's never a good time to unplug. But when the Spirit draws, you better go, gang. There's never a good time. Jesus unplugged when there were needs around Him. And that just resonates with me. Because He realized there was in fact a greater need. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, Jesus taught. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. Mary unplugged from her responsibilities, and it didn't sit well with others. But Martha was what? Verse 40, Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to Him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her. I gotta admit, every time I read this verse, it irks me, because I resonate much more with Martha than Mary. You know what the difference in my life was? I worked harder. I was never smarter or had more ability, but I was tenacious, and I was taught from a young man, you got to work, you got to work, you got to work, you got to work. And I got to admit, that's an Achilles heel. Why did I just say Achilles heel in a church sermon? Okay, let's change that. That is a big weakness. So I'm just going to tell you flat out, there's never a good time to unplug. There's never, it's not going to fit in your schedule. You're not going to be able to say, well, next month. It's like the guy who says, yeah, I'm going to start a diet. When? Tomorrow. Tomorrow will never come. You serious about it? You start it now, right this minute. So the next question is how? How in the world? Okay, Pastor, we know. We get it. We're too plugged in. How do we unplug? Matthew chapter 6, 5 through 9. When you pray, not if you pray, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and at the street corners, for they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard by their many words. Don't be like them. For your Father. I love the fact that he doesn't say for God. He doesn't say for the Lord. He says no. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So if Daddy knows what I need before I ask him, why does he want to put me through all the hurdles of asking him? Because it's not about asking. So many of us have adopted the philosophy in Western Christianity that God is here to fix our problems. It is preached. It is doctrine that God is here to heal us. He's here to be the genie in the bottle. He's here to answer our shopping list. And we've forgotten the bigger portion. That God is here for relationship. And relationship doesn't happen when we are plugged in many other places. When we are hyper connected with everything else. So here's the deal. What should we do? Number one, shut the door. How to unplug? Shut the door. That means getting your time. That means unplugging. If Jesus unplugged, we need to. Daniel fasted and prayed. Daniel went up to his room. He shut the door. He removed himself. And gang, we need to. The next thing is to pray and to pray relationally, which means just talking to God. And quite honestly, we've become very, very rude in our interactions because we don't have the time to talk to God when we're talking to 50 gazillion other things. I love that Jesus said, you know what? I recognize there's distraction. I'm pulling away to solitary places, to desolate places. I'm putting the invitation out for all of us to get away with God. Now, for me, what that's going to look like is a social media blackout. And I'm putting it out there to anyone else who feels the need to join. You want to find something good to give up for Lent? Probably the best, I would say the best thing that we as a society could do is to take an extended period of unplugging from all that blah. As a culture, sadly, the last stat I read last night said over 60% of people get their news from social media. Their news. From an algorithm that says, this is what you normally do, so we're going to give you according to what we think or what your history says. That's not news. That's cherry picked. Okay? Talk to God, and then the reason that we need to unplug is so that we can listen to God. And for us to listen to God, we have to quiet the distractions. You see, now don't be like, the others, we just got to try to get through this time. I made it a week with no sweets. I made it a week with no sweets. Now I can binge. No. The goal is relationship. Seek God during the midst. The goal is not to accomplish just denial of self, but to strengthen your connection with God and to bring your flesh under submission. And I think all of us could benefit from asserting our will to self-discipline. Amen? That was a question, amen. Amen? Voice went up. I think we all could. So, moving forward, I pray that you would all just take a moment and just see if God is leading you to unplug. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you that you desire greater relationship with each one of us. You want to be with us. Thank you, God, that your word says that, that when we draw near to you, you draw near to us. Thank you for that promise. We realize there's conditional promises there. We also realize that we live in a day and age of much distraction, of great distraction. Father, I pray that that no one would leave here at all condemned, but I pray that we would all be challenged and encouraged to strengthen our bonds with you, to strengthen our ties with you and our ties, in fact, with one another. Help us to get more healthy in how we communicate and get more healthy in how we see the world through your eyes. And Father, help us to drop the scales from our eyes that we've looked through in so many ways, God. I pray that your Spirit would move in this place. And Father, as a result of this, we'd have a greater passion to share your word with those around. And Father, we pray this in Christ Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offer for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.